Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is supported in part by the Bertha Foundation.
Lewis, happy new year to you.
Thank you, Daniel, and a happy new year to you. How's your break?
My break was great. I spent a long time at my in-laws' house, and it was absolutely delightful. They live in a nice part of the world, and I got to relax and also put together the best of show for 2021 from Irrational Fear with all the sketches, or rather the sketch compile show, not the best of show, just a compile of all the sketches. But Lewis, we had a major problem with that particular show. It was hosted by Alan Jones, aka me. And when I put out the show to the email list that we put out a show hosted by Alan Jones, we lost about 30 to 40 subscribers.
Coincidentally the exact amount of subscribers that Alan Jones has to his new show.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think we lost about 8 Patreon subscribers as well. So it was a devastating loss financially to the
Would
show.
Would you do it again?
Probably, yeah, no.
Yeah.
But the show was really good. It was a really excellent hour. So if you are new to the podcast, go back one episode and listen to the best of 2021 sketches. And it is a really great synopsis of all the shit that happened in the year. Lewis, how was your break?
It was good. It was pretty good. Yeah, I did a week in Victoria with my family, which was lovely. A week with my girlfriend's family in Queensland, which was cyclonic. And then I came back to the great plague state, New South Wales, and I've just been ducking and weaving for a week.
It is great to be here. I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gadigal land in the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
Irrational Fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, fair dum, and Section 40. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, after the success of Wordle, the federal government is launching its own four-letter guessing game, Fuck All. And New South Wales reaches 92,264 cases of COVID a day, and that's just in Dominic Perrottet's family alone. And the Australian Republican movement has moved to a popular elect platform. Goodbye, Queen Elizabeth. Say hello to King Wally Lewis. It's the 14th of January, 2022, and this is Irrational Fear.
Irrational Fear!
Welcome to Irrational Fear. I'm your host, former Vice Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Dan Illich. And this is the show, Irrational Fear. Yes, we are back for another year. It's our 10th year of operation. And just like a fine wine, if this is your first sample of us, you'll probably think we are a little bit corked. So let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. She's a Gomeroi woman and a prominent smart aleck who has a podcast all about Indigenous parenting and making fun of crystal-toting hippies that smell like patchouli and unwashed feet. It's Pepper Smith. Welcome, Pepper.
Hey, Dan.
What have you got against patchouli and unwashed feet? What's wrong? What's wrong with this?
Dude, my kids went to a Steiner school for a while and I met some interesting characters, I might say.
I understand that Steiner schools have a very essential oils-based curriculum.
Yeah.
And he is a podcaster, writer, and artist. He's the founder of Awesome Black and the creator of the first Aboriginal NFT. And he has the honour of being the only guest on Irrational Fear to have received a cease and desist letter from TAFE New South Wales. It's Travis DeVries. Welcome, Travis.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me.
I love this story about how you got a cease and desist letter from TAFE New South Wales. Could you tell us a little bit about like what it takes to piss off the state of New South Wales?
I'm not allowed to talk about it. I'll get another one.
Is that true? No way.
No, I am. Wouldn't that be, the best thing ever? Gag order from TAFE New South Wales. The lawyers are listening into this as we speak. I made one of those viral memes, but we're not allowed to say viral at the moment. Just one of those regular memes that did some numbers with a picture of myself and a picture of my dad smiling very nicely, advertising a TAFE New South Wales course for Certificate 4 in Aboriginal Eldership. And apparently they got phone calls and people were both signing up and also not happy. They were signing up.
You're actually changing the culture. People want to know how to become an Aboriginal elder.
if you subscribe to my Patreon, you get a certificate.
I'd love to know the breakdown of who was signing up. Like how many people were actually like Aboriginal Australians and how many were just people being like, oh, yeah, I've always wanted to do Welcome to Country at the Olympics.
TAFE's got to have those numbers, Lewis. I'm sure that we can get the data if they'll pick up the phone for me.
If we know anything, well, I don't know, Travis, I don't know if you know this, the New South Wales government aren't very good with numbers at the moment. And finally, it is a man who installed his own outdoor shower from a future episode of The Block. It's Lewis Hobber. Lewis.
Yeah.
Putting in outdoor showers these days.
Yeah, I see the way that the media is declining and it's plumbing. I'm hoping to get involved in New South Wales TAFE so I can go back to school and get a double degree in plumbing and Aboriginal eldership.
Travis can help you out. He's got the connections. Coming up a little later, we'll be talking more about Patreon and how cannabis can solve COVID. But first, here is a word from this week's sponsor.
49,900.
The New South Wales government is changing the way it's counting coronavirus cases because we only learned how to count up to 50,000.
49,999. 50,000.
From today, if you have symptoms of coronavirus, you'll have to acquire a rapid antigen test through a series of physical challenges in your local district.
50.
The winner of each district will battle it out for the title of state champion, who will then be given one rapid antigen test.
50,000 and,
if that person tests positive, they will then be added to the daily count.
We've got one more. That's 50,000 plus one.
And if you don't report your positive test result, you will be shot.
Oh, my God, maths is so hot.
From all of us at the New South Wales Government, may the odds be ever in your favour.
This week's first fear, COVID-19 has caused huge global supply chain problems all over the world, affecting pretty much everything. There's been shortages of building supplies. In some states, there's shortages of medical equipment. And on a federal level, there's a complete lack of leadership. It's amazing. But as Omicron takes over Australia, there is a serious supply problem that is affecting everyday Australians. Pepper Smith, would you say that this is a bit of a zinger of a problem?
It's an issue that's absolutely devastated me, absolutely gutted. I've got some thoughts that I've written down on the issue that I would like to share.
Please do.
In the last few days, civilization, well, reality as we know it's been altered. It's shaken to its core, you might say, so I'm going to say it. I know, you know, we all know the pandemic has been that manky kid at the back of the class from the beginning, licking the snot dripping down his face while he gets windburn from wiping his sleeve on it. And just when we're lulled into that sense of security, he keeps on spitting with his homemade pea shooter all his little feral germs at the back of our heads. And we yell out, "Miss, he's doing it again!" But the teacher's just a big old loaf of mouldy bread called Scott Morrison. The vaccine's given us the equivalent of the virus being sent to the principal's office, you know, for a good paddling. But it seems that this bastard kid has just dropped his dax and shown us a full moon on the way out the door with this latest shocking development. Brace yourselves, because it's bad. There are KFC shortages. Won't someone think of the children and me when I'm a little dusty? If those words don't make your piss boil faster than a hotel room kettle, then nothing on earth will. This pandemic has meant it's not enough. There's not enough staff to process the chicken in the factories because everyone's got the fucking allergy again. And I'd like to read a statement I found on their website just to give some clarity to the conversation.
Please do it. Yeah. Let's clear this right
up. Here at KFC, your priority is our safety. In response to the coalition's piss-poor management of the pandemic, we have been forced to introduce some new rules to select stores and our brand, specifically in New South Wales. Thank you, Dominic Parrot Tits. Not only are we prevented from throwing open the doors to every bloody restaurant on every bloody corner in the known bloody universe where we can find a skeleton crew willing to work their guts out for us, a billion-dollar corporation, only if they'll take minimum wage, we're also out of wicked wings. Here at the Dirty Bird, we understand the upset, the fear, dare we say it, the grief that this will cause some of you when you're looking for a cheeky piece on the way home from the pub. We just cannot supply you the greasy bone that you're looking for. In light of this new direction, we are now in the process of rebranding the KFC you know and love to Can't Find Chicken. With a K, of course, because we all know and in marketing reminded us that CFC means something else entirely. At Can't Find Chicken, our new operation model will continue to look the same, only minus the joy of the artery-blocking deep-fried bird carcasses. We can still expect the underpaid, overworked children behind the counter, the same instant mashed potato in mystery gravy substance, and of course, the best chips ever invented on this godforsaken planet. We will continue to operate part-time under the hubris that anyone that comes into the KFC restaurant or drive-thru will likely eat anything we put in front of them out of sheer desperation, even our coleslaw. You get the picture, dear customer. We would appreciate your thoughts and prayers during this time. Back to you, Dan.
That is that's gripping stuff, Pepper. I can't believe they wrote that. That is that's at least they're admitting the problem, Lewis. At least they're admitting this is a big problem for them.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'm not much of a KFC eater, but certainly I've felt the devastation around the nation. You know, you can feel the national mood is low. I was wondering, like, obviously they've gone for the can't find chicken option. But I wondered if they could just change the second C to something they can find. So it's like Kentucky Fried, you know, chickpeas, Kentucky Fried cacao, just anything that's a bit more readily available, something that no one's picking up.
Yeah, or, you know, KFG, they've still got gravy, so they could go with that. Or, you know, KMT, Kentucky Moist Towelette. That's something they definitely have. They definitely have moist towelettes. Travis?
I actually think that this is possibly a scheme by Big McDonald's. a couple of weeks ago brought
out.
Can
they still make the McChicken?
They brought out the Big Mac chicken version a couple of weeks ago. So they've and they're still doing it. I tested the waters, got one today. So
what are your thoughts, Travis? What
coincidence?
Are your thoughts?
I think not.
Yeah, some corporate espionage. That's an interesting angle. How's the supply chain affecting the 11 herbs and spices? Are they still all getting through?
This is exactly what Sheepy said on YouTube. I was expecting to reduce 11 herbs and spices to 3 secret herbs and spices. This is a big scandal, a big scandal.
I did try my McDonald's joke earlier today to my fiance, who quite famously does not use the internet at all. And it fell kind of flat, mainly because she was pretty depressed because that was the first time her hearing about this whole KFC shortage. So I had to break the news. It was terrible.
Can I just break the news to you then, Trav? And I'm really sorry to tell you this, but as of today, McDonald's have also released information that they are too suffering with the supply shortage.
Well, I mean, they're suffering in the supply shortage because they have a Hamburglar that works for them and the Hamburglar is stealing all the hamburgers. So it's an internal problem.
My parents have chickens and I know a lot of people who have one or two chickens. Is this the time to start reintroducing conscription? So every Australian who has a chicken, maybe there's a lottery and every chicken whose birthday falls on the day that the ball comes out is forced to hand it over to the colonel. Who enlists it in the army and then marches it straight over the hill into KFC. And we can get some sort of pipeline from the suburbs to the chicken restaurant. And I mean, I think we all know Scott Morrison is pretty desperate for an easy win right now. I think this is the time to reintroduce conscription for chickens.
Poor Hennifer.
How are they going to know what day is the chicken's birthday, though? Because is it the same as they do with horses, where all horses' birthdays is on the same day?
First. Yeah.
Or have you been recording, Lewis? Have you been taking notes on chickens' birthdays? Yeah.
I'll ask some of the Steiner parents.
I think if you look inside the cloaca, the date of birth is stamped inside. So you just have to open up and look inside every cloaca, write that down. That's what
They see how many rings there are inside the clocker. It's like a tree.
You're listening to Irrational Fear.
George has, as everybody has, a right to express their views.
Do you endorse the views of this podcast?
No, I don't watch his podcast. I tell you what I do watch. What's that? I watch the Teletubbies with the kids. That's good fun.
Irrational Fear.
This week's second fear, cannabis could help fight COVID-19. Now, if you are not a big fan of respiratory viruses, but don't mind other kind of respiratory illness, Travis DeBries, I've got a question for you. Is dope our great hope for COVID?
I fucking hope so.
It seems like there's some sort of element inside cannabis that can stop COVID.
Yeah, it's just a study at the moment, and it's just lab-based, so they haven't tested in humans yet, but I'm happy to be on the front line on that one. A lab has found that one of the non-psychoactive compounds found in live cannabis plants, so not dead, you can't hunt them first, got to bring them in live, could help sabotage the spike protein in coronaviruses. So, look, they were saying that Omicron can be a way out of this. Dope. That's the way to get out of this. We can conscript some marijuana plants.
Yeah, I think this is boom time for cannabis, particularly all around the world. People are talking about cannabis for many solutions for many things.
It does feel like, I mean, obviously, like Los Angeles is a real hotbed of legalized marijuana at the moment, and particularly in the oil form, which is what you need to have it, according to this study. And let me tell you, LA has been getting lots of COVID.
Do you think this is big marijuana coming in, to big corporate marijuana to be the next kind
of? I had a little look into the study, and I had a look into the guy who did the study, and all of his previous studies are about the effects of marijuana on things. And now I know that obviously when you are a scientist, you probably do have a specialty, but it does feel like this guy's specialty is getting stoned and seeing what it fixes.
Is this Professor Cheech or Professor Chong? I have a theory about why, and it was a theory until Travis blew me out the water there with the psychoactive ingredient. I thought that perhaps you were so paranoid being stoned that you became an extreme germaphobe as opposed to just your average germaphobe.
I think it's just that you get so lazy that you end up in a sort of accidental lockdown because you just never leave the house and it stops the spread.
We've all been there, Lewis. We've all been there.
It's kind of interesting, like this is it's meant to be taken orally, like it's not meant to be smoked, but clearly people are going to be seeing this article and getting their smoke on to fix a respiratory or protect them against a respiratory disease. And it's like, well, one kind of respiratory disease kind of outweighs another. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. That's fine.
I'm kind of enjoying it. You know how there's a constant cycle in and so like news.com science section where like every 3 months they'll reverse their previous opinion on one glass of red wine a night or like dark chocolate. It's just like a new researcher suggested that a bottle of wine a night can extend your lifespan by 10 years. And then 3 months later, like a new research suggests, a bottle of wine a night will give you liver cancer. It's nice to just have something, like we've been watching that for two decades. It's nice to have a new ingredient in that mix.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for blowjobs to help with COVID. That's what we're all hoping for here.
Right, okay. Look, I'm no doctor, but get on the bongs.
Irrational Fear!
So Novak Djokovic is a lying, sneaky, yeah.
He's an asshole.
But I think he's going to get away with it.
Oh, he is going to get away with it.
Yeah. I think most fair-minded people would say, look, Blake's an arsehole.
Your fear is rational.
This week's third fear, the Australian Republican Movement has moved forward with a new model in selecting head of state. It's called the Australian Choice Model. Now, this is not too dissimilar to the New Zealand Republican model called the New Zealand Choice As Model. It's very similar. In the process, state and territories will pull together a short list of candidates to be president, three from the federal parliament, then one from each state and territory. Then the public will vote on that shortlist. Now, I don't know about you. I can't see any problems with this model at all. Fearmongers, what do you think? Is this a good model as opposed to an Australians voting for anyone outright? Lewis, what do you think about this?
Can you talk me through that? So give me an example right now. Who could they be picking?
Well, I guess who
would do the picking?
Well, the politicians, I guess, the governments of each state and territory will pick one person, and then the federal parliament would pick three. So the federal parliament would probably pick John Howard, Jim Molan, Aaron Molan.
All the Molans,
the Molan family. They're like the political equivalent of the Hemsworths. And then, you know, each state would pick their own person. So, you know, Victoria would pick who did Victoria pick, Lewis?
I don't know, Dylan Alcott.
Right, okay, great. Yeah, it's just the cast of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah, exactly. Does that have to be someone who is previously, is currently elected, or do they just go...
Anyone, any citizen.
Anyone.
Yeah,
through this model. I'm getting on board.
Yeah, through this model, it's anyone. So the idea is that Peter Fitzsimons, who is the chair of the Republican movement, said they only want like the most distinguished and respected and trusted citizens to become president. In his words, he says, people don't want a Trump-like figure. They don't want a Shane Warne. They want an eminent person. But, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of people would think Shane Warne is an eminent person.
Look, if he can set a field, he can set a parliament.
So, folks, can you see any problems with this particular model, Pepper?
Is it like the MySpace top five friends system? Is that what we're working with here?
Honestly, like, yeah, there's a lot of drama in the top eight. I'm on board. I'm just hearing about it now for the first time. For one of the first times ever, I'd like to say I agree with Peter Fitzsimons.
For the first time ever.
A lot of people don't agree with Peter Fitzsimons, would you believe? So I delved into the Daily Mail comment section, which is something no one should ever do in the right one.
So you've gone for the best and brightest.
Yeah, you know when they say join the conversation? It's not a conversation you ever want to join at the bottom of those web pages. This is great. This is from Emma Starr. She says, I'm not interested in any of it. It all sounds completely complicated with zero benefits. He said people don't want a Trump-like figure and they don't want Shane Warne. They want an eminent person. Who is this person to tell the rest of us what we bloody want? I'm so sick of being told how to think by rich people. No one should tell Emma Starr how rich the Queen is, for starters.
Also, the whole point of this is that we would get to decide. But I guess, yeah. I mean, we don't pick the shortlist, I guess, but we don't pick the shortlist now. This would be more of a choice than we currently have.
Do we think this
Travis,
is
think?
Famous bandana wearer, Peter, angling for a shot at the throne?
Yeah, well, he has been a wallaby. Maybe he thinks because he's running the Republican movement, he can become the president of Australia. I think, judging from just the Daily Mail comments alone, he's not a very popular person outside of the Sydney Morning Herald bubble.
I'd be more inclined for like a Hunger Games style election.
If you genuinely go back through our past, our recent prime ministers, and think that through. The person who would probably still be prime minister if it was a Hunger Games situation is Tony Abbott. Now have a think about that and have a think if that's still the sort of system you want.
He's fit.
I reckon back up against the wall, Kevin could fight.
Yeah, I reckon.
I mean, sure.
He's got such soft hands.
He would scrap.
If trying to choose president, you had to play handball, Kevin versus Tony Abbott, I'd put money on Kevin winning.
That's smart, yeah.
It's the ones with the soft hands you've got to watch.
Think of Australia as 27 million people. Who do you think would rise to the top? Who would be, like, if they could vote for anyone as mass, how would you congeal that into one person? Who would that be?
This country is so shallow. It'd be a Hemsworth for sure.
It'd be a Hemsworth. It'd be any of them. It'd become like the Kennedys. It'd become the Hemsworth dynasty.
Yeah.
See, but now I'm sold on it though. Like this is
exactly.
I'm all for
I think
that.
It's a really good idea.
Thor, yeah. God of Thunder, President of Australia. Fuck yeah! I'll follow him into the dark.
The greatest travesty here is that Russell Crowe is not Australian. This is the greatest travesty.
Yeah. I reckon we can get him over the line. I mean, Barnaby Joyce is as Australian as Russell Crowe.
Oh, that's true, yeah. But Russell Crowe doesn't have citizenship. That's the only thing.
Yeah, we could make that happen.
I will marry him and get him some citizenship.
You're a good man, Travis.
Thank you, Travis.
Just imagine him at the UN just being like, husband to a murdered wife, father to a murdered son, and I will have my vengeance at this UN or the next summit. It'd be great. Everyone would be terrified. I'd love every minute.
I think we've already got a pretty good system for picking president in Australia. It's called the Logies. I don't know if we need another system. I mean, Hamish Blake would clearly walk away with becoming president.
Oh, Lisa McCune pissed it in.
Yeah, the Golden Girl. The Golden Girls era. I mean, that would mean currently our leader would be Tom Gleeson.
I think that's something we could all get on board with.
I'm really on board with this. I think it's a great idea. I think it creates some excitement. I think it makes elections much more thrilling. I don't know, like, if we elect to say, you know, on the Logie system, we have Asha Keddie is our new prime minister. Once we have Asha, who does she answer to? Who's in her party room?
Sophie Monk.
There's no one. She's a brains trust. Yeah. Sophie Monk, Abby from The Bachelor, Brooke Blurton.
Because I do worry that without any sort of, you know, without any party, without any cabinet, it would be largely ceremonial.
It is largely ceremonial. The role of president in this new system is that they don't do pretty much anything. You know, think of what Scott Morrison does now. That's the kind of role that the president would do. Like nothing. Like they wouldn't do anything.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the governor general position.
It's right. The governor general position.
Okay. Yeah, their main job.
Their main job is to go around to scout halls and open up and cut ribbons and, you know, open up new expressways and stuff like that.
Going to the opening of an envelope. Yeah.
Going to the opening of an envelope. Yeah.
Well, now I'm with the Daily Mail commenters, which again is not a position I want to be in. This is a waste of time. No one needs to bother showing up to elect our Governor General. No one gives a shit who the Governor General is. But I think we should bring that system in for our Prime Minister.
Yeah, a lot of people on the Daily Mail webpage also agree with that sentiment indeed, including Lockdown Suck from Nowhere Land Australia, who says, OMG, Lisa and hubby idiots. Why do they feel the need to tell us lower class people what they are thinking? Next, they'll inform Australia of their bowel movements. Was glad to see Lisa leave the Today Show. Pete is the new Mr. Hanky. Christmas poop. Well, there you go. This is the real Australia. Christ. The Daily Mail is the real Australia.
Fuck me.
You know what? It is a short, sharp week here on Irrational Fear. A big thank you to all of the people who've joined us. Also, because we're just getting back into it, I want to thank all of our Patreon subscribers. This is the thing that keeps us going. We've got quite a few of them now. We're up to 302 from 2 years ago when we started the Patreon. And we also now have 7,000 listeners, which is amazing. So, and 85% of those listeners come back. So that's roughly 5,900 people who are listening week after week. So that's over about 5% of our listeners are Patreon supporters. Supporting the 95% of you who don't pay, you cheapskates. So please, if you are listening to this and you're part of the 95%, jump on board. Become part of us. Help us grow Irrational Fear. Because this is an election year when we want to do a whole bunch of crazy stuff, stuff that I can't talk about because it's plausible deniability for Lewis so he doesn't have to lose his job. So please go to patreon.com/irrationalfear and chip in for as little as $5 a month and we can make more videos and more podcasts just like this. Excellent. And if you are listening to this and you have an empty office in Sydney's East and would love me to be there 3 days a week making videos out of it, let me know. Hit me up on my DMs on social media because we're looking for a YouTube space for the next few months.
Literally think you could walk into any office in Sydney and it would be empty.
Nobody's using offices.
Or any KFC, for that matter. If you've got a spare KFC with a few rooms free, let me know. We could build out a little studio in the corner there. We're not opposed to that at all. We could do cash for comment. That is it for Irrational Fear. Big thank you to all of our fearmongers for tonight. Travis DeVries, Pepper Smith, and Lewis Hobber. Travis, do you want to plug anything?
Yeah, I'd love to plug another Awesome Black show, which is the Awesome Black is the podcast company that I run, First Nations podcast company. You can support them if you want, stealing Dan's audience. But I'd love to plug Trash Titters, which is one of our new shows with three cool girls, Brooke, Amy, and my sister Tully, who are talking shit about all things, mostly trash TV.
That sounds totally ideal. Pepper, you've been on Trash Titters. Do you want to plug anything?
No, except for Trash Titters. I really do like going on there and hanging shit on everyone else. So it's a good feeling. It gives me that outlet that I need as a mother. You know, can't take your anger out on the children. That's illegal. So I go on Trash Titters. I talk shit and I feel good. I feel good.
So, yeah. Pepper, when can people hear your podcast? It's coming out soon, right? March?
March, April, somewhere around that mark. So, yeah, just working with production at the moment.
All right, great. And what's it called?
Yama Mama, which means
excellent.
Hello Mama in my language, the Gamilaroi people.
Big thank you to Road Mics, the Bertha Foundation, Patreon supporters, Rupert Dagas on the voiceover, Jacob Brown on the Teppanyaki timeline, and new Patreon members this week, Miles Page, Charlie, Wilfred O'Donnell, Suzette Markel, Fran Lee, Jono VDP, Ash Kidd, Diramid McCoy, and a big farewell to all the Patreon subscribers who quit us when they heard Alan Jones was hosting a show. Sorry about that. You should have clicked through. It was a very funny episode, probably the best episode of the year. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Oh, Lewis, do you want to plug anything?
Oh, yeah, why not? If there's anyone listening for the very first time, I don't often plug my other stuff because I just figure, I don't know. But I do a radio show on Triple J every weekday from 3 p.m. It's called Hobber and Hing. You can listen to that. And we have another podcast called Simply the Jest, which is a very different podcast to this. It is basically Australians calling in from around the country and telling us their really crook stories on a topic we pitch each week. And it is, it's the real Australia, Dan. It's more crook than a Daily Mail comment section.
Yes, the Daily Mail comment section coming to you live on Simply the Jest. Thank you very much. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night. Bye.